Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Sure is nice to be with you all here this morning on the last Sunday in 2024. I hope that you all had a wonderful Christmas this past Wednesday. And, you know, as the last Sunday, our dear brother Ken shared about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the reminder of the Incarnation. God the Son coming in flesh, born as a babe in the manger, represented mankind's salvation, that one day he would go to the cross of Calvary and give his life for all mankind, the sins of the world. And what a beautiful truth that was. I think we've all had probably a busy week. This morning somebody said, "You don't look so good." And the truth is, it's just I'm tired. I think we're all tired. Well, there's so much to do. I've got two little boys, and they're home for 3 weeks, and they get up just after five. And so when they're up, dad is up and mom's up, and we got a dog and we got a cat. So it's just a lack of sleep more than anything else here. And I know we're all probably a little bit sleep deprived. But just before maybe we start, let's open again. It's a quick word of prayer. Father, with grateful hearts, we just bow before you once again in the precious and worthy name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we've come forward to the last Sunday this year, December 29th, 2024, I pray, Father, for the short message which you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that what be of you would be remembered, and anything that is of man and myself would be forgotten, that you would guide and encourage us and exhort us and lift us up, and that in everything that I say this morning, that you're given the glory and the honor. And so we just commit this morning service to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in 3 days, if you include today, we're going to say goodbye to this year. And there's usually two things that generally happen when we ever come to the end of the year. Is one, we always take a look backwards. I don't know what you guys do. You take a look backwards and you see what's happened in the past year. And you say, where has the time gone? I remember when it was the beginning of 2024. Now we're at the end of 2024. And the second thing we always do is we take a look forward to the next year and what we hope for, what our dreams or aspirations we have in the upcoming year, maybe things that didn't happen in 2024. We look forward to a better 2025. And so we look at these things. And as I was, keep those two thoughts in mind. And as I was praying for this final message for the year, I wanted to just be it as an encouragement to you all. And I was praying during the week, being busy, and I had a few thoughts coming. And then yesterday when I was at the pool with the two boys, I ran into a Christian friend, a younger guy. He's got three children. He's about 36 of age, and I was talking to him, and he came to me at the end of the year. I said, "How are things going?" And we were a good chat. And he was telling me, "I'm looking for a new church." And I kind of stepped back, because he goes to a very well-established church. And he goes, "Things are changing," he says, in the church. He goes, "It's a great church, but some of the truths that he grew up on, they're kind of walking away from." And he gave me a startling fact. He goes, "My parents' generation." And whenever I think of my parents' generation, I always think the older. He goes, "Yeah, my parents are 60. He goes, "A lot of that generation is walking away from the church." And I was kind of taken back. I said, I said, "What's going on?" He goes, they're just leaving the church. I go, "Well, they're going elsewhere." He goes, "No, and they're a particular community." And so when he told me that, that was kind of pressing on my heart. And as I was preparing for the message, and last night I was just saying, "Lord, please help me give a message of encouragement." The Lord brought to my reminder a passage in Scripture. And so we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm just going to read 8 verses. As I said, it's a short message. And I think it's so important as we read the Word of God, let God's Word speak for itself. Just to give you a bit of a background, the Apostle Paul is nearing the end of his life. And he knows it's coming. And he's writing to his young man in the faith, Timothy, who he's mentored, who was in Ephesus as a leader. And Paul was writing in a second imprisonment from a Roman jail cell. He was in imprisonment. And he knew his death was going to come. And, you know, historians record outside of the Bible that it's believed that the Apostle Paul was beheaded by Emperor Nero around 67-68 AD. And so, and the Apostle Paul was about 60 years of age. And so just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And we remember we ran into who this man was. He was a man, grew up in Jewish customs, Pharisee among Pharisees. He was persecuting Christians, and he had an encounter with the living Christ on the road to Damascus on Acts chapter 9. And historians, I was looking this up, said he was approximately about 30 years of age. So here we are now. He's coming near the end of his life. He's about 60, and he knows he's foreseeing what's going to happen to him. And as he comes to the end, and this is what he's doing and what was on his heart. And when he wrote 2 Timothy, what was on his heart, knowing all this, and he was seeing the great apostasy that was coming into the church, and he was giving a warning about that. And just remember, this was about 60, they say 64, 65, possibly 66 AD when this was written. This is Paul's last known letter written that we've recorded in Scripture. He might have in other words, but this is the last letter that he wrote. And people have said this is his final farewell. And so whenever somebody gives us their final letter or wishes, you know, maybe you perk up and you listen. And you want to see what's on his heart. And so this is what he had. And this is what he says. And this is where we're going to get to. Just one other facet as he's approaching life. You know, as you get older, you know, physically, I don't know about you guys, but are you guys, does your eyesight seem to be getting worse? I don't know about you, but mine is. I'm 51. To tell you the truth, I had corrective surgery done. And as I get older, I see my vision physically is going down. And, you know, in the same way, as we get older, not only physically we are vision, but where's our spiritual vision? You know, sometimes we can start off with clarity. And as we go through life and its circumstances, maybe things come in and come into our lives. And, you know, we had a zeal in the beginning when we came to know the Lord. And as we kind of get comfortable and see how things are going on, we sometimes might diminish. Here we're going to see the Apostle Paul. And where his vision was and what he was thinking. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I have just 8 verses. It says this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that his death was imminently going to be coming shortly. And this is what he said, and this I hope you take as an encouragement. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only me only, but also he who also loved his appearing. May God bless the reading of his word. So here we have his final letter as he writes to young Timothy, and he's given him a charge. And he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy's charge was to pick up the mantle. Paul, knowing what's going to happen, he's encouraging this young man in the faith. He's passing on the mantle, the baton, as you would say. Just and it's a great principle as the older to teach the younger. You know, we see it when Joshua took over for Moses or Elisha took over after Elijah. In the same way, he's telling Timothy to pick up the mantle and to continue in the faith. And he says this, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, as he's reminding him, and sometimes when we do the work and the service as Christians, those who put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that all our service and what we do should be carried out with the realization that we are being watched under God's all-seeing eye, and we do it to the best of our ability. He's reminding him. He's saying, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And that's the reminding to Timothy, because you know all the persecution, everything that was coming in, he's reminding that the Lord is coming back and that glorious time at his appearing. So he's trying to encourage Timothy. And what does he say? He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Timothy was not only to preach the word in all situations, in any situation that he came into, but be ready to properly address the audience and know your audience. And it says persuading with the clear presentation of the truth, convince, or rebuke. That means to correct error and sin. And exhort or encourage believers, and correcting with patience and instruction as needed. Timothy is being urged to preach from the Apostle Paul with urgency at every opportunity. And he's saying, faithfully teach sound doctrine. We're going to see that. And he's saying this for two reasons. One, there will be a general turning away from wholesome doctrine. We're going to see that. And as we see that today. And two, Paul knew at the time of his departure was at hand. When it says to preach, that word preach is, when you look up the Greek word, it means kairouso. Kairouso. And it literally means to herald or to proclaim publicly. And that's what they do, preach. And what happened in that context in the New Testament times, people understand what that means to, what that word means to preach. And what would it do is that they would be heralders who would go out on behalf of the king or those in authority. And they would go out and pronounce to the people oracles that would come from the king or from those Caesar who was in charge. If there was a new law or some new pronouncement or special occasion, they were to hurl it to the people. And it was a very solemn task, because if he misinterpreted, he represented the authority of the king or whoever was in charge when he did this in power. So if he misquoted or did something, he was misquoting the king or the Caesar. And that would put his life in danger. It was very important to proclaim what he was told. Preach. And the flip side is that when he was to proclaim, if people didn't want to listen to the heralder, they weren't discounting who he was. They were discounting the one who sent him. So the Apostle Paul is teaching him. He goes, preach the word. And we know what the word is. It's as New Testament people today, we live in the day, we have the Holy Scriptures. It says, preach the word. It says later on, because people will fall away from sound doctrine, but he's telling him to teach. And the context there is, we've got to go back. Always, whenever you go through Scripture, always go back. What is sound doctrine? And why do we talk about doctrine? Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14. I'll just read this to you. But it says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then he says, I charge you therefore. And it says, preach the word. What he's saying there, we have to know God's word. And why is doctrine so important? I don't know, you read into, I watch a lot of YouTube, I see sermons and just things that are out there. And you see today, a lot of, and you meet people, well, we don't really need to know doctrine. All we need to know is Jesus and his love. And that's all they preach. But we will not know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ if we put our faith without studying His Word and knowing the doctrine. And the doctrine is so foundational for our faith. There are so many people today that are going off how they feel or their emotions. They don't go back to God's Word. It says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And we need to come back to this. He's giving Timothy that charge. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know God's Word. I take this as a conviction for myself as I go through this. We need to know the truth. I went to university at night and I did studies in class and had teachers who challenged today, what is truth? You know, what's truth to you may be different from what truth to me is. And I heard vile, I still remember this, and I won't go into it, but I remember vile discussions that we had. Well, that might be offensive to you, but it's not offensive to me. And there's no standard of truth. But the Bible gives us clear. What did John 14:6 say? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. Scripture says, thy word is truth. We need to know the Holy Scriptures. And it's a sound doctrine. Why? It goes on. It says in verse 3, for the time will come. And as he's writing to that day, but look at the day we live in. Just kind of keep this in mind. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. Does that sound like the generation that we live in today? They turn for itching ears. He is saying some listeners will turn their ears from the truth regardless of what a preacher or a person, man, woman, who's presenting the gospel faithfully. Nevertheless, people will turn away. We must stand firm on the word of God and sound doctrine, even if society is telling us different. We live in a day and age today where morality and the ways of the world are now influencing and coming into society, coming into the church. And whether it's popular or not, if it's what the secular society we live in, or what God's word is saying, what are we going to choose? I'm very passionate about this because I know of organizations that are now compromising the word of God, and churches, mainline denominations, that have come and they're going to go with what society says over what the word of God says. And what does the Apostle Paul says? Sound doctrine. We need to preach. We need to know sound doctrine. God's workers must fulfill their ministry because they will be accountable to Him. As Timothy is accountable, and we as believers are also accountable to Almighty God. And so we need to know His Word. And how do we know it? By studying and spending time in His Word. Through prayer, through Bible study, your own personal time. And it's so nice to see each and every one of you here. You know, there are many places you could have chosen to be, yet the Lord has brought you into a church today, and I know you do your studies, because we need to know God's Word. If you want to know God, we need to know His Son. If you want to know His Son, get to know Him through His Word. And I can't stress that enough. The Apostle Paul saw a time when people will show a disdain and a disdain for truth and willfully turn away and preach things that are against God's truth. Their ears will itch for doctrines that are pleasing and comfortable to their lifestyles. And not only will they do that and what society pushed, but they'll go to teachers that teach what they want to hear. And so they'll have itching ears. Scripture is very clear in the latter days. We're going to see that. And we see that today. The word of God is being compromised. And when you stand for truth, you're a minority. I grew up by the grace of God in a Christian family. I thought we were the majority of the world. If you stand up for God, if you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a minority. You know, it's uncomfortable when you mention if you stand up for Christ, it seems in the day, and so people are ashamed. People will tell you everything that they believe in, every doctrine and whim. I have friends from different faiths, and they're adamant, they'll say it. And then I have other friends that are Christian, and we're in the same circles, and they won't speak up. Why is that? Maybe they're timid. And I see this as an encouragement. At the appointed time, the Lord Jesus Christ left the glory and came to this sin-stricken world. And he went to the cross of Calvary for you. He went to the cross of Calvary for me. He wasn't ashamed of us. He went willingly and offered his life so that we could be reconciled to Almighty God. And you know, the Apostle Paul, knowing on his, he's going to give his life up, he still had the desire to have the word proclaimed, and he's urging him, Timothy. And it's for a lesson for us today as believers, preach the word, be into the word. Not only are we to preach, we to live our life and be an example to others, because the outside world will never, for a majority, will never read the word of God, but they'll read your life, they'll read my life. How we act, how we conduct ourselves. And he's urging him. He's saying, and he says, people will turn away, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside. But then he says, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. What does that mean? You're going to go through difficult times. If you stand up for God, if you stand up for Christ, we live in a world today, you can actually mention God. Because when you say God, they think, oh, well, it can be the God of Islam, it can be a foreign God, or the God of Christianity, or the Jewish God. They go all this, but you name the name of Christ, that is what is it against. They don't want to hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened when he was born? They said they should call his name Jesus, or he will save his people from their sins. It's the Emmanuel, God with us. The name of Christ is today is a curse word. I work in the business world. And when people get upset, they don't take the name of anything else, but they take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they take it in vain. And so we have to be so careful today. And I even have believers, when they get upset, do not take the Lord's name in vain. It's a curse word. The Lord Jesus Christ said when he sent out the disciples, they'll hate you because they hated me. And today the name of Jesus is reviled amongst the world. And when I used to stand up for it, people would always turn to me. They said, oh, Christians say it all the time. And, oh, that guy's a Christian, or that guy's a Christian. And I said, well, what makes a person a Christian? They said, well, they said they're a Christian. You know, what makes a person a Christian? It's a person who has come to that realization that they're a sinner before Almighty God, and there's nothing that they can do. And by faith, they take God at his word that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came and offered himself and gave himself on the cross and died for your sins. He died for my sins. And when a man, woman, or child repents, acknowledges they're a sinner, and turns from the way and says, God, I know I'm a sinner. I need you, Lord, to be my Savior. Person in the scripture says when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they pass from death to life. We're saved and we call ourselves Christian, and we're right before God, not based on anything you've done. It's all based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood and gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. And every Sunday morning, we get the privilege to come and remember the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says, do this in remembrance of me. If you're free on a Sunday morning, we'd love to see you. We come and we gather around. It's all about him. It's not about anything else. It's all about the God the Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. The bread and the wine are a symbol of that body given, and the cup represents the precious blood shed for her, for all mankind. And it's by his stripes we are healed. He's encouraging, he's telling Timothy, and he's saying, but you watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. As he says that, he's saying, what does an evangelist do? They proclaim, they herald the truth, they present the gospel. And what can we take from that as believers, those who have put our faith and trust in the Lord? And we should always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have within us. Peter tells us that in 2 Peter, with fear and trembling, with reverence. Always be prepared to give an answer of the hope that you have within you. Work as an evangelist. We're living in dark days, folks, and people are searching for truth. And we have the truth, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I can say that as I get older. He's the only meaning in life that gives purpose and meaning. When you know the Christ as your Savior, you have a peace which the world cannot take away. I've been through my ups and I've been through my downs, and I'm so grateful. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And as we get older, you realize the brevity of life. We just finished the year 2024, and I said, remember the two things. We think, we look back, and we also look forward to the new year. He's encouraging Timothy. And then the second part, he says this, and he knew his life was coming. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and will not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He knew what was coming, and he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. If you understand the old Levitical system in the Old Testament, the drink offering always concluded and was poured over after the sacrificial offering, and you can read about it in Numbers 15. Paul's life, his whole life since he got converted and came to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, was a sacrifice. We know in Romans 12, verse 1, he says, brother, I beseech you by the mercies of God, therefore, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of service. Paul's life was a sacrificial life. And his departure, as he says, my departure is at hand. He knew that his time was almost up. And Paul would be exiting this life, and he was looking forward to being with God. We know in Philippians he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul knew where he was going. That's a hope we have as believers. Every single day, I think it's 151,000 people die and enter eternity. Just let that sink in. How many of those people are going to a lost eternity? And we of us who know the truth, and maybe in love, and say we don't want to offend, so we don't share the gospel. And as I say this to you, the Lord is speaking to me. I have so many opportunities to share the gospel, and I try and whenever I have an opportunity. But if you have a chance, share the message of Christ. This is what the world needs. Verse 7, Paul says this. He says, for I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Paul, the apostle, had no regrets. And we see it in all three images. He fought the good fight. He stood for truth. He had opposition. We know his life, what Apostle Paul went for, but he fought the good fight. He didn't give up. He finished the race. And that's the Christian, while we're in a race, he gives that analogy so we understand either start and finish. And we start when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that race doesn't end until we get to be with our Lord and Savior. And he is never in that race. He's always going in that race. You know, as we look at New Year's, we always look back and, you know, we can always glance back. But if you know anything about a runner, and I think in BC Place, there was a minute mile, and there was a race between racers, and the fellow was running, and what he happened to do is he happened to look back, and when he looked back, he didn't realize the person passed him. And so as believers, as we look back to see what's happened in our lives, and if there's mistakes and all that, learn from it, but don't dwell in there. If you dwell in there, you'll never move forward. Learn from what has happened in the past, but move forward. And the Apostle Paul says, I've fought the good fight and I've kept the faith. His faith involved sacrifice. He had his labor and his life was in danger. And now that represented the completion of Paul's ministry. And Paul is not boasting, saying, oh, look at my faith, look at who I am. But he's just saying he believed and he obeyed the great doctrines of the Christian faith. And he was also a faithful steward and guarded and defended those truths to him, and he passed it on to others. And then verse 8, it says, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. Those who are eager for Christ's appearing are usually eager to fulfill their task. When you're waiting or anticipating something, you strive for it. And that was his final perspective. He knew where he was going. And he calls God and the Lord Jesus the righteous judge. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that will evaluate your motives as well as your deeds. and his judgments will be accurate and impartial. Reward for those who long for Christ's appearing. The Apostle Paul, knowing what was before him, was trying to encourage Timothy. And so I've quickly gone through that, and when you have a chance, go back. There's so much more. Our time is almost up, but I wanted you to just kind of go back to those two points as we come to the end of 2024, our last Sunday. What are the two things we do? We look backwards. And you know, as I look backwards, I remember the beginning of the year, and I looked up some facts. What happened in 2024? Do you remember some things that happened? This is what's listed. I looked it up on people's and on the Google. So it says Vladimir Putin won re-election in March of this year. I thought, oh yeah, he did. There's a Miss Taylor Swift became the world's first billionaire singer solely from her songs and concerts. And that happened in April. I thought, oh, okay. Mexico had their first female president, Miss Claudia Sheinbaum, which is in June. Like, this is what's listed in Google. I was thinking, oh yeah, did that happen in 2024? And I was like, okay. I didn't know. The Summer Olympics. Do you guys remember that? That happened in July of this year. They're here and gone. Mr. Donald Trump was elected president of the United States in November. He won the election. And then there's two more that I just wanted to let you know. On December 9th, you might not know this, but Google unveiled a quantum chip, you know, a computer microchip, that can complete 33.3 trillion years of calculation in 1 nanosecond. They named the chip Willow, and this is just mind-boggling to the people that have discovered this. That's technology going. And on December 16th, the EU, the European Union, signed a contract to build an $11 billion satellite to compete with a guy named Elon Musk's Starlink. So these are things that happened in the world the past year. I thought, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And then some notable deaths. Former premier of BC, John Horgan, I don't know if you are familiar with the name. Unfortunately, he passed away this year, and he was a younger man. There's a fellow by the name of O.J. Simpson, who passed away this year. You guys might know him. Brian Mulroney. He used to be the Prime Minister of Canada. And then a couple of actors, Donald Sutherland, James Earl Jones. So you look back, as we look back, you see, okay, you know, when I see these events and people buzz, death is inevitable. And in the business world, at the end of the year, you know what we do? We take stock. We do our review of the year of the business. And that's a time when a lot of people look to see, hey, what did I accomplish in the year so I can get a raise? And so they evaluate their lives. And we do that in the business world. And then I was thinking, as Christians, do we ever do that on a spiritual level? Do we maybe evaluate? And I did this just for myself, and I hope you take this as an encouragement. But the questions I have to ask myself, in the last 362 days since the beginning of the year, have I grown in my faith with the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's just a personal question. You don't have to answer this. But as we look back, and you know, some of the goals we have for our lives, as we look back, how we establish that. Is your walk where you want it to be? Is your prayer life, your Bible study life, sharing your faith and living it outside with those outside the faith, is it where I want it to be? And as I was thinking on these things, as I look back, time is something you can't get back. Each year passes, and you know what that means? As each year passes, it means one more year you're closer to your mortality, to your death. That's a fact we don't like to talk about. But as each year passes, I'm 51 now. I remember when I was in school and they said, one day when you're 20, and I remember, I've said this before, I said, 20? Oh, that is so old. I remember thinking that, and now I'm 51. And I look back and say, hey, I'm not that old. But you know what I mean? It's all perspective. Regardless of what happened, as you look back, the Apostle Paul said he had no regrets. And in 2 Peter, we're called as believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe something's happened in the past year. Maybe you're not where you want to be. Start off in the new year in serving God and proclaim the gospel. And the last one, the second step was, and I want to finish with this, is as we go forward, is what do we look forward to? We're end of 2024. We're looking forward to 2025. What are your expectations? You know, this past week we had Christmas. And can I tell you, I saw when there's an expectation of something that you want, you look forward to with excitement. I saw the transformation of two little boys on the night before Christmas and also on the morning of Christmas. They were two wonderful little boys, but they turned into, if I couldn't believe, little saints. And they knew that in order, before they could open their gifts, they had to wait till mommy and daddy got up, let them sleep, and when they get up. And so they were wonderful little boys, although they were, when they got up, we knew they were up. But you should have seen the level of expectation. What are you looking forward to? And as believers, what are you looking forward to? I pray that our heart's desire is that we grow closer in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our time is up, and I haven't done the passage justice. If you'd like to talk some more, I'd love to talk to you. And as we were reading this, Paul was talking to Timothy, and he was urging, when he said that passage, many will fall away from sound doctrine. He wasn't talking to the outside world. He was talking to those that are supposed to be part of the household of faith. And so when we don't understand sound doctrine, I heard this analogy. There once was a man who had a donkey, and he fed it oats. You know what oats are? It's food for the donkey. But the price of oats started going up, and he was, it was getting a little tough to, have to work a little harder. So he thought, instead of eating the oats, I'm going to mix sawdust with the oats so the oats will last a little longer. And, he kept doing that, and then he thought, hey. And so he started giving more and more. And finally, the meal itself was satisfied. But do you know what happened to that meal? It died. Because that sawdust killed him. And in the same way, it's probably a poor analogy, but sound doctrine is truth. And when we turn from the Word of God and we start adding and going away from this, we're bringing leaven. We're bringing in things that are not sound. And if you are built on that, it's going to kill you. That word we said, sound doctrine, the Greek word for that is hugiano, which means hygiene. Hugiano, sound. And what it's saying is when we know sound or know the truth, that is life-giving. This morning, if you're here and you're not a believer in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would ask you, and I'd ask, please don't leave here not having an assurance of knowing that your life is right with the God of the universe. Each and every one of us is here. It's the end of 2024. I hope we're all grateful. I know we are. We've had probably gone through some difficult times, but be thankful. And as we call in the year and we look forward to 2025, if the Lord tarries and we have dreams, make sure we put them first. And with that, I'll close in a word of prayer. And then I'll call Brother Chi. Father, with grateful hearts again, we just thank you for this short season this morning. As we look at these verses found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's final letter where he's exhorting Timothy to contend and preach the faith and to be on guard. Lord, we live in a day and age where your word is being challenged, where your truth is being challenged, and Father, and churches are departing from the faith. And I pray as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be growing in our walk with you, that we would be living example to others, and we would be sharing your truth. Father, we thank you again this morning for everyone here, and if there's someone here this morning that has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, just by simple faith, Father, acknowledging that I'm a sinner and I need to repent of my sins, that you sent your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary, to take my punishment that I rightly deserve. Lord, I ask you to be Lord of my life. Father, when a man, woman, or child truly repents and puts their faith and trust in you, they turn from death to life, and they have a peace which the world doesn't understand. Father, again, we thank you for each person here as we're going to sing one song before we go, and then afterwards, as we depart, we pray for each family here. We pray that you would bless them, keep them safe, and Lord, if you be not come, we look forward to the coming year. And so we just commit our time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.